were going somewhere the other day talking about Josiah earlier, talking about him again. He wanted his rain boots or something. I'm like, why? He says, so I can jump in the puddles. All right, any puddle jumpers here? Come on, don't you just want to be a kid again and go out and find a big puddle and start I do. You want to do it now or wait until after service? Who's with me? Oh, come on, man. Let that inner child out. Will you do that? You'll enjoy. Anybody wear your rain boots today? However, I think we're hopeful that the sun's going to come back out at some point later today, maybe tomorrow. So I hear it's still up there, and it will shine again when the clouds break. How does that sound? Who's ready for a little sunshine? All right, I think it's going to be a great week ahead, that's for sure. Well, we've been talking about reset in our lives. A couple of weeks ago, resetting our affections, resetting our decisions, which really has to do with resetting our affections, which ultimately leads to resetting our affection for Jesus Christ. Amen? And then last week, we talked about resetting joy in our lives. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. And some of you may be thinking, well, I've got so many trials in my life that if I considered it pure joy, like the Bible says, I'd be the most joyous person on the planet, right? And boy, I was thinking earlier, isn't it difficult to consider trials pure joy? That's tough, isn't it? But that brings me to the place, I think, but Christians do better at memorizing Scripture than they do applying Scripture, right? I mean, we memorized that one forever ago. Consider it pure joy. Someone could start that verse, and you could pick up and run with it, but do we do that verse? Okay, I don't want to re-preach last Sunday's message. We'll move on here today. Resetting habits. Did you know that your life is full of habits that you choose? Nobody holds you down and forces your habits. Your life, did you know that your life is full of the habits of your choosing? You have diet and exercise habits. Now, they could be good habits or bad habits. Do you not choose what you eat, what you don't eat? You have diet habits. Do you not choose how much you exercise, how much you don't exercise? So that's a diet and exercise habit of your choosing. You have family habits. What are things that you and your family do? Do you have the habit of trying to eat dinner together every night? Everybody has busy schedules. Or do you not have that habit? Are there things that you like to watch together as a family or do together as a family? You have family habits. What time do you go to bed? What time do you get? See, these are habits in family life that you have formed. You have work habits. All right, you go to work every day. If you have good work habits, you get promotions, don't you? If you have bad work habits, you get demotions. If you have really bad habits, you get shown the door with the exit sign over the top of it, don't you? So you have work habits in your life. You have pleasure and entertainment habits. What do you enjoy allowing to pass through the eye gate of who you are? What is the genre? What is the content? Where do you like to go for rest and relaxation? You see, you have pleasure, you have entertainment habits, you have emotional habits, how you respond to bad news, maybe you're in how you handle conflict. Your habits help determine how you handle emotional issues in life. You have spiritual habits. Are they good spiritual habits or are they bad spiritual habits? For example, if you have good spiritual habits, then there's a really good chance that just like you eat every day, everyone here's alive. I'm assuming you've had something to eat in the last 24 hours, something to drink. But spiritually, if you are a mature follower of Christ and you have good spiritual habits. You spend, even if it's just a small portion of your day, a portion of every day in your life, you're getting into God's Word. You're getting God's Word into you. What is that? That's a spiritual habit. You should be, if you're a mature follower of Christ, in the practice, in the habit of at least some portion of your day, you're spending in prayer, whether it's one longer time or maybe shortened times throughout the course of your day. If you have bad spiritual habits, maybe the full amount of the Word of God that you get every week is what I prepare for you. All right, what is your habit? You all and I have habits in our lives of our own choosing. Now, we have habits that we have chosen for ourselves. But God has plans and purpose that He has chosen for us. There's a lot of verses in Scripture that indicate this, that make this clear. One of the more famous ones is found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans. Some of you have already quoted the rest of this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God's made a declaration about your life, that He has plans for you. Here, this verse goes on to say this, plans to prosper you. That's good. Check that off. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Well, that's good. We all have people in our lives that want to bring harm, but not God. No, no, no. To prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know that verse, right? So I'm thinking, wow, man, prosper, no harm, hope, a future. God says He's got these. Sign me up. That sounds good to me, right? How about this over in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. What does Paul say there to the church at Ephesus and say to us as believers? For we are God's handiwork. What do you think of yourself when you look in the mirror of a morning? You should be thinking, look at that. That's awesome. I'm God's handiwork. It says so right here in Ephesians, doesn't it? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to just louse around and do no good. No, that's not what it says. It says created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, a lot of parents prepare their children. College education, they spend a life preparing them. God has a whole warehouse of things that He's prepared for you in advance to do. You're created in His image. You are His handiwork. And He's got good things prepared for you. Once again, wow, this sounds good to me. Where can I get involved in this? And then here, how about this for like the ultimate preparation? These are the words of Jesus Himself. Jesus says, and it's recorded in John chapter 14, verse 3. I go to prepare. There's that word prepare again. Remember, we have habits, but God has plans and preparation and purpose for us. I go, Jesus says, and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, right? He says it right here. I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Wow. What a great plan. What a great promise. What a great preparation. And of course, anyone in their right mind wants to go to the place that God has prepared and is preparing for us. Heaven. All right, I want to go. Let's go now. After jumping in puddles, let's go to heaven. Right? You see, heaven is really our ultimate hope, isn't it? But the problem for many, as John Maxwell says, we have uphill hopes, but downhill habits. Scripture talks about a number of downhill habits in a number of places. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in one of his letters to Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. He says this, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, last book in the Bible, says this, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Now, these verses that we just read have a few things in common. Number one, here's what they have in common. Number one, they clearly indicate, yes, there is a real heaven. And they equally clearly indicate, yes, there is a real hell. The second thing they have in common is they inferred the desired place to be is heaven, not hell, right? And the third thing that these passages have in common is they list practices or habits that will keep you out of heaven but pave the way to hell for you. Another way to define these passages may be this way: uphill hopes, downhill habits. And the bottom line is this today, beloved: in order to gain what God has prepared for you, you must maintain godly habits. Many years ago, famous writer Ralph Waldo Emerson stated and wrote this, "Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." Now, it's interesting here that habits is the glue in the center of this truth, in the middle that holds this truth together, isn't it? It's habits. Many years later, famous author Stephen Covey picked up on this line of thought and wrote the bestseller, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Thank you. Now, once again, of course, we all want, at least in a moment of clarity, we all want what God's best for our lives is. And we all would say, yeah, I want what God has planned for me because it's to prosper me. No harm, hope, future. That's what I would like. But here's the thing, beloved. This never just happens. Never, never, never does this just happen. You have to answer a question. I have to answer a question. See, we all need to answer, do your habits merge into God's plan for you or exit you out of God's plan for you? What do your habits do? What are your habits? Exit you in, or I mean merge you in, or exit you out? Now listen, just wanting or wishing is not enough. See, I have three younger children. It's what I call the wish phase of life. Somebody always wishing for something. I wish I could have ice cream. I wish I could have this video game. You're thinking, that's not just the kids. Now you're talking about me. No, right? Mom, I wish I could have this. Dad, I could wish I... See, I remember my wish phase of life. Now, I couldn't go to Mom and Dad. I come from a broken home till my mother got remarried. And I'd go, man, Mom, I really wish I could have that racetrack. TRC. Who remembers the TRC racetrack? Am I the only one old enough to remember that? Was total, I'm sorry, TCR. Total Control Racing. Oh, man, that thing came on TV, and I'd watch those cars on that track with those guns with the throttles to make those cars fly. Mom, I really wish I could have one of those, right? Mom, those sneakers, those are the new Nike rides. I like Nike. It means Greek for victory. I didn't know that in my wish phase, or it's Greek, and it means victory. And I wish I could have these shoes, or I wish I could have this to be in style like my friends have, this shirt, these pair of jeans, whatever. Wish. And my mother, finally, she started saying to me, you might as well wish in one hand and scoop dirt in the other one and see which one fills up the fastest, right? Can you believe my mother would ever say that to me? I'm going to call her right as soon as this. I can't believe that, Mom. That's not true. Yeah, but she taught me a powerful lesson. Yeah, you can wish all you want, but all your wishes, number one, aren't going to come true, and they're especially not going to come true if you don't do anything to make them happen, right? And see, there's a lot of things in life that only good habits is going to get you where you really want to be. Not wishing. Not. You see, listen, I wish, especially into adulthood, you know what that is? It's an indicator of bad habits. If you've carried your wishing phase of life into adulthood, well, I wish, this is not fair, that's not fair, they have this, I wish I could have that. You're revealing about yourself you have bad habits. Jesus tells a story in the Bible of a young man who had a wish to go on a wild road trip. His wish was granted, but his habits supplanted. Now, what does grant mean? Okay, he had his wish granted. Grant simply means to give. So he had his wish given to him. His wish was granted, but he had a problem. He had bad habits. So even though his wish was granted, his habits supplanted. What does supplant mean? It means to supersede or to replace. Whoa, who put that there? All right. That's what supplant means, to supersede or to replace. So his wish was granted, but his habits supplanted. Hear me today. Eventually, habits will supplant. Habits will supersede or replace. Habits will supplant wishes every time. Every time. See, I told you Jesus told a story about a young man that wanted to go on a wild road trip. You may know the story as the prodigal son. The prodigal son is found in Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. So here we go. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11, and he said, he here is Jesus, he's telling this story. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. Oh, this young man had a bad habit of not implementing what we would call delayed gratification. All right, want it now. Okay, and what we're going to learn is he didn't have the maturity, he didn't have the experience to give him good judgment to handle everything that he had coming to him later. He wanted it now. And the younger of them said, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Okay? This was what was your brother's. This was going to be yours. Here you go. Verse 13, not many days later. Okay, the son's got his money now, right? He's got his possessions. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into the far country. So that could have been, probably what he did was he exchanged everything for currency, right? So he could have some cash flow. Not many days later, the younger son took all that he had and took a journey into a far country. There you go. There's the wild road trip. And there he squandered his property. How many knows that if you have good habits, you don't squander things? All right, you squander when you're immature, you have no experience and bad judgment. So there's indication here he had bad habits. He squandered his property in reckless living. How many knows if you have good habits, you don't live recklessly? You live recklessly when you have bad habits. When you have good habits, you live with discernment. You live with wisdom. You live with longevity in mind. You prepare for the future. You don't live selfishly. You consider others along your journey because we live in this life together. So all these indicators in here of a young man with bad habits, right? Verse 14, and he went and spent everything, verse 14, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country. There you go. It's all gone. He didn't have good habits. Now when trouble comes, difficult times, he's got no resources left, right? And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into fields to feed pigs. Pigs. That's a job that a Jewish person would never take. This would be deplorable to a Jewish person. See, bad habits would lead you into situations you would have never dreamed you could find yourself in. Never. That was considered an unclean animal at that time to a covenant child of God. And now he's having to hang out with them and feed them. Right? Verse 16 goes on to say, and he was longing, get this, he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. So he's gone from a place in his life he would never be in the same area as pigs, now to wanting to eat with them. But look at the end of verse, it gets worse. And no one gave him anything. He's totally cut off from his covenant people now. And he can't even give someone to give him what the pigs are eating, for crying out loud. You see, church, we certainly learn in this story that I wish or I want now is an indicator of bad habits. And we also learn in this story, be careful. Oh, be careful. You just might get what you've wished for. But you didn't think it through. He got exactly everything he wished for, didn't he? There's more coming toward the end of the message today. But be careful. You may get exactly what you've wished for. Now we pick up in verse 17 in the story. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I'm a son. But my dad's servants have more than enough bread to eat. But here I am going hungry. Got what I wish for. Got my wish granted. But my habits supplanted. But I perish with hunger. Verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, or before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Ah, Well, now the story in verse 25 takes another turn. Now, his older son was out in the field. And he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants, and he asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. He was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Wow. There's three main characters in this story. There's a father and two sons. Son number one in the story, which biologically, technically was son number two. He was the younger son that had this wish. Son number one in the story had habits that led him to be selfish and unstable. "Oh, Dad, I wish and I want it now, and it's all about me and living the high life, and I can go sow my wild oats." His older brother referenced the prostitutes, and woohoo, I can take the road trip of a lifetime. Selfish and unstable. He didn't plan ahead. There's instability in his thinking. There's instability in his emotions. There's instability in his decision-making. There's instability in making a decision to cut yourself off from really the source of supply of who you are. Yeah. A lot of stupidity there, right? So here, we see his habits of selfishness and instability. Now, number two, we see from the father, another main character in the story, the father had habits that led him to be compassionate and restorative. Now, who has better habits here? Dad does. So he didn't just wake up one day and become a nice guy and want to help his children. No, there's a whole covenant life. There's growth. There's discipline. There's discipleship. There's maturity. So when his son, see, the easy thing could be, "You took half of my earnings and you went off and squandered them on loose living. Away with you." Come on, every parent has had that desire to, right, with the kids. Don't want to listen to anything, creating nightmare and headaches. "You, get out of here," right? You know, right? And maybe some of you have done that. We'll talk later. All right. But the father had habits that led him to be a compassionate man. A restorative man. "Oh, son, I'm so glad you're home." I'm thinking of that song right now. "Everyone needs compassion. The kindness of a saint. Okay, we won't get into that, right? Worship session's over, right? And portion's over. And restorative. See, he said, "Listen, what the son has squandered away, God wants to restore who he is. God wants to restore, you know, a sense of character. God wants to restore family ties. God wants to restore," or the father wants to restore the covenant relationship that he can have with his heavenly father. And he wants to celebrate, and he has habits of that's going to bring compassion and restoration. Now, son number two in the story, which biologically is the oldest, son number one, he had habits that led him to be judgmental and angry. So really, he wanted to do what the first son did. The first son, "Well, I'm going to cut myself off." Well, now the second son is saying, "I want to keep him cut off. Look what he's doing. He's going out to hang with prostitutes. He's squandered everything." Right? It's all gone now. Let's just judge him. And Dad, I've never done this. And he violates something that Paul teaches us in the New Testament you don't do. You don't compare yourselves with one another. What's he doing here? But look at me. He's comparing himself with his brother. You'll never find your true identity in Christ if you're comparing yourselves with other people. Dad, I've always obeyed. I've been here. I didn't go off squander. I didn't go off with loose living and instability and stupidity. And I didn't even get a goat out of the deal. He gets the fattened calf, right? Come on, man. What gives? And the father tried to explain to him, but everything I have is yours. He wouldn't receive that, would he? He'd rather judge others than receive the what's coming out of the habits of his father. And he was angry. He wouldn't even go into the celebration. No way, man. Not going in there. It's a celebration. I don't want any part of it. Can I tell you, a judgmental attitude and an angry spirit, it'll never get God's best for you. Those are bad habits. Bad habits. I want to talk to you today about three key areas of habits. Number one, heart. Two, home. Three, heaven. Habits of the heart. And when I say habits of the heart, I'm talking about this is who you are. Habits of the heart is who you are, and it speaks to the personal part of you. By personal part, I mean your nature and your nurture. Who are you? Who has God created you to be? What is your personality? What are your preferences? What is your attitude, your character, your characteristics? Just who God created you to be, the nature part of you. Habits of the heart, the essence of who you are. And not only the nature, but the nurture. Anybody here come from a family? Okay, go like this. I promise every one of you have parents, okay? Aunts and uncles and grandparents. Yeah, there's nurturing there. I mean, come on, I've said it before. You'll say or do something later in your life, and you vowed as a teenager, I'll never do what my mom did or say what my dad said. And now you're in your 40s and your 50s, and you're like, oh, man, my mom used to say that all the time. Like now I'm telling my kids, you might as well wish in one. No, I've never said that to them, right? And scoop dirt in the other one and see which one fills up the fastest, right? But aunts and uncles and your family and maybe holiday traditions, they've nurtured you. And that's kind of rolled into the nature part of you, and it's become a part of your heart, the essence of who you are. The country that you come from, you have cultural customs. And, you might come from a country on any given day here in the United States. It's just another day, but it's like an Independence Day back home or a big national holiday, and you celebrate it whether anybody else in your neighborhood is celebrating it or not, because it's part of who you are. See, your culture has nurtured you, and your nature and your nurture, and it really forms your heart. So we're talking about habits of the heart. This is who you are, and it speaks to the personal part of you. And, oh, I don't know about you, but I've learned that the habits of the heart are in continual need to be reset. You see, just like the last two Sundays, we've got these reset buttons for you as a reminder, like I'm wearing here, and you can come to the altar or the communion table. And I got some left here. These are all mine. I'm into habits, right? I just might come clothed next Sunday in reset buttons, right? Because, God's word speaks to me too, but the habits of the heart are in continual need to be reset. See, Jeremiah the prophet picked up on that, didn't he? Another one of the most famous verses in his prophetic book, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Oh, once I start, you'll be able to finish it. The heart is deceitful above all things, right? And desperately sick. What's that tell me? Man, my heart, I can't set reset it all the time, right? And then he actually ends that verse with a question, who can understand it? Maybe it's the way Paul felt in Romans when he's like, oh, wretched man that I am. I don't do what I need to be doing, and what I need to be doing, I don't do. Who can help me? And, of course, his conclusion is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the ultimate reset button, isn't he? David understood the need to reset his heart. He sinned against the Lord, had a tough season in his life, and It's like, God, I need to reset. And Psalm 51 is that passage, that chapter of repentance, isn't it? And in verse 10, what does David write and declare before the Lord? Create in me a clean heart. What's he saying? God, my heart's dirty. I need to hit the reset button on purity. I need to hit the reset button on clean. It's dirty. I need your cleanliness. I need your purity. I need your power. I got to hit the reset button on my heart. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Habits of the heart. See, the heart is who you are, and it speaks of the personal part of you. Secondly, let's talk about habits of the home. This is where you are, and it speaks to the public part of you. Now, by home, I mean two things today. Number one, it's that house. It's that resident, the address that you share family life with, your family with which you live. And I also mean the earth in which we live on. We're in a season of this life. We're earthbound. So yes, you have a physical address where you live with family, but we live on this earth. And more, we do find ourselves seemingly in a global village, don't we? So when I talk about home and habits of the home, I mean these two things today. Please bear that in mind. And this is the public part of you because it affects not only you, but those around you in your life that you have interaction with your life in various ways. So let's talk about, we're going to do this one longer than the second part, home on this earth, but home with family. And I've also said this before, it's hardest at home, isn't it? Oh my goodness, to really put into practice the things that would make for a great home, that's where it's hardest, the people that we're most familiar with. You go to work, you work all day, and people might just irritate the life out of you, but you're like this the whole time, and you work hard to get along with them. And boy, but if your spouse says the same thing to you as your boss or a coworker, right? There's an explosion. You go off on him. You go off on her. Right? Now, and you work all day. You give your boss. You give your colleagues. Maybe those under you. You give them the best part of your day. You come home. Your kid just wants to play with you, but you're exhausted, man. You've given out all day long, and you're like, oh, just go watch TV. See, that those are habits, right? It's hardest at home, isn't it? Go play video, maybe another time. Cool, preaching myself under conviction here, right? Home with family. What are your habits in your marriage? Does your spouse get your leftovers, or do they get your best? Remember those early days, those dating days? Man, you'd move heaven and earth for him, for her. But now you can't even get the dustpan out, right? And pick up dirt that you carried into the house off of your shoes. Come on. Somebody's saying, preach it, Pastor, right? All the wives. What are the habits in your marriage? You've got a ton of habits in your marriage. How you spend time together. Your habits of intimacy. Your habits of how you treat one another. How you talk to one another, right? How about the habits of parenting? Do your kids get your leftovers? Do you send them off? Or do you like dig deep and say, man, come on, let's go, let's get the soccer ball out, right? Or spend that time, go for a walk, bike ride, whatever. We're going to talk about these in a few more moments a little. How about the habits of your finances? How you spend your money are your high habits. And what are your habits? Are they good habits? Are they bad habits? Do you live from paycheck to paycheck? You can't wait for that pay to come because you're going to go, what's, you can't wait to see that movie, right? It's going to be the best entertainment on the planet in the history of history, and you're going to get something to eat first. Next thing you know, it's all gone. Or do you have habits of like, no, wait a minute. The Bible says the first fruits of my increase go to the house of the Lord. Do you have habits of planning for your children's future? They're going to grow up someday. They're going to go to college. Or I'm going to retire. Do you have habits? Okay, after tithes and I pay the mortgage or the rent and get the utility bills paid for, then do I spend what's left? Or do I take, you know, a percentage of that and put that aside for a rainy day? See, those are your financial habits. What are your entertainment habits in your home? What do you allow to come through the television into the spiritual climate and the atmosphere and the environment of your home? What are you watching? What goes into your eye gate that forms your thinking, your perspective on others, especially family members? Those are your habits. Do you have an Ephesians 5 marriage? That ends with verse 33 that says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. So husband, do you have good habits that invite your wife's respect? Or do you have bad habits that makes it difficult for her to respect you? Your habits are going to help determine that. What are the habits of your home? Habits, habits, habits. Let's talk about children and parenting a little more. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now here, a lot of Christians think that that verse means, you know, teaching the truth, God's word, covenant, may incorporate that, but that's not really what it's talking about. Did you know that? You see, to really do this verse, you need to have some very good habits in your home with parenting. Because this is a verse that tells me we must engage with our children, we must embrace them, and get to know them intimately and closely. Train him up in the way that he should go. Well, how should he go? What, in other words, what gifts, what talents, what has God put in your child to make them who they are? What are their interests? What are they good at? Train him up in the way he should go. See, the gifts and the talents that God created in that child of yours is the way he should go in his life or her life. It's your responsibility to train that child up in that way. So when they're old, but what does that require? It requires good habits with your kids. Oh, here's another one. How about this? Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4. It says, children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have good parenting habits to where you realize he's a gift? She's a gift. Not an inconvenience. Not an inconvenience. That's bad habits that'll lead you there. Not someone to just throw food in front of at the meal table. Not someone to just, well, I gotta wear clothes. Let's get him some clothes. No. You realize he's a gift from the Lord. She's a gift from the Lord, all right? Good habits will help you understand that. Good parenting habits, which is going to get you in the Word, oh, they are a reward from him. Right, we won't go there, the law of the harvest, all right? Let's just stick with the verse here. I like this part. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. What's an arrow for? To shoot just anywhere or to hit a target? Look at the illustration here. Children, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Are you a father warrior to your children? Are you a mother warrior to your children? Because the Bible says, and Gerald Mahan's coming later this month, he would say, and the Bible says, right? All right, children are a gift from the Lord. And they are a reward from him like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Are the children of one's youth. Now listen, many, many years ago, this was a matter of survival. All right? They didn't have guns, didn't have slaughterhouses. You had to go out and hunt. Right? There was a purpose. You don't just walk around with bow and arrows like, wow, let's look at a bow. Got a quiver back here with arrows in it. 1, 2, 3, 7, 8 arrows, right? 3. How many children do you have? And you just don't walk around and say, hey, see my bow? Look at my arrows. Right? Nice. No, you're a parent. You're a father. You're a mother. And those arrows, with this, in context of this verse, are your children. Now, when you pull one out of the quiver and put it in the bow, what are you just? Or do you have a target? Do you have a target? You have a target for your children. What are you teaching them? What are you allowing into their eye gate? What's going on in your home? Listen to this. You're to be a warrior. Now, God has plans prepared for your children. You're the parent now. You need to start figuring out what God's plan for your children are. See, that's the first verse. Train them up in the way they should go. And then you need to hone in, and you need to a stance, and you need to be aiming at dead center of that target. That's your children. What are your parenting habits? What are the habits of your home? So that you, when your children are released, it can send them on the trajectory of God's best for their lives. That's your job, Mom. That's your job, Dad. And these things require intentional engagement and guidance of good habits. In your habits of home, here's another question for you. Do you have a tendency to isolate or insulate? These are big habits in your life that are very important. In times of conflict, do you just want to say, get away from me? Or do you want to go and bury yourself in a room or in the basement? Do you have a tendency to isolate? That's a bad habit. Or do you insulate and say, come on, we got to talk this through. We're a family. We got to work through this situation. What does God have to say about that? And if you can't find something specific, we're going to pray this thing. What are you doing? You're insulating your family. There is an enemy, the devil, seeking your children, seeking your spouse, in whom he may devour. And if you're isolating yourself, you're losing your covering and your protection. But if you're insulating yourselves by coming together, insulating your family, your home with the word of God and prayer, it's going to strengthen your home because your habits are stronger. Real quick, habits of the second part of home, and that's home on this earth. You have work habits. Are they good ones? Are they habits of godly character? How about the habits of dealing, the dealings of the people and the systems of this world? Are you looking how to get over on something? Well, boss will never know this. Store will never miss that. Or do you have habits of integrity as you live and move and have your being on this planet? Wow. Would someone just reach up that clock and take the battery out? All right, we'll stop some time. I want to leave you with this thought before we move to habits of heaven. How many know that when you take away the public habits of the home that everyone should see, to make private habits of the heart that you don't want anyone to see? Let me say that again. How many know when you take away the public habits of the home that everyone should see, to make private habits of the heart you don't want anyone to see, you've damaged both your heart and your home. You've caused damage there. All right? Good habits, godly habits are important for you, and they're important for your home. Let's talk about the third habit today, the habits of heaven. You see, the habits of the heart, this is who you are, and it speaks of the personal part of you. The habits of the home, okay, what is that? It's where you are, and it speaks of the public part of you. But having habits of heaven, this is where you want to be. Ultimately, this is where you want to be, and it speaks to the potential part of you. Who wants to go to heaven? There's actually people here that don't want to go to heaven. Wow! God help you, man. Okay, for the rest of us, for those of us that want to go to heaven, of course we all do. Do you have established habits that's going to get you there? I can tell you this, not everybody's going to heaven who thinks they are. All right? Jesus could not have made that any clearer when he talks about when we all stand before Christ, and he said there's going to be a group of people, there's going to be these individuals that come out and say, well, Lord, but I did this in your name, and I did that in your name, I did this in your name, I work here, this in your name, did it all in your name, Jesus, and he's going to look at them and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Now, where's that departing to? It's hell. Wow. There are people that think they're going to heaven, and they're not. And there's people that, Jesus' words are true. But Lord, I did this in your name. Never knew you. What are you talking about? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. All right? He gives clear indication for those that are faithful when he separates the wheat and the chares, the sheep and the goat, right? Or the wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goat. Enter into the joys of the Lord, or, sorry, your eternal destination is the lake of fire. So what does that tell me? I need to have established habits that's really going to get me there. Now we know, listen, this book called the Bible screams from beginning to end that God wants to be with you and he wants you with him. We know that God wants us in heaven with him. And of course, anyone in their right mind wants to go to heaven. Jesus is preparing on his end. We just read it a few minutes ago. I go prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare, coming back, taking you with me to go to where I've prepared. So we know that Jesus is preparing on his end. Are you preparing on yours? How heavenly-minded are you really on our home on earth? See, we talked a lot last week about setting your affections or your mind on things up there, on things above, things in heaven, right? And when you set your affection on things above, you develop habits to get you there. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 through 23. The first half of this passage is like the passages that we read earlier from Corinthians and Revelation. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. I think that's the next slide, if you can pop that up there just for a reference point. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, but, here's the last part of that passage, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Now, what are these fruits of the Spirit? They're habits. Are these fruits of the Spirit the habits of your life? Love, joy, peace, patience. Here's the next one. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. That would be in the other category, wouldn't it? Gentleness. Self-control. And get this, against such things there is no law. So, it's a passage, okay? This set of habits will send you to hell. Pave the way to hell for you. Second part of this, this set of habits will prepare you and pave the way to heaven for you. Do you have habits of which God has no laws against? Do you have habits of which God has no law against? Listen, one of the things that helped the prodigal son to reset his habits was that he had concern that he violated heaven. All right, he knew he had violated his heart. He knew it violated his home. We just read it a few moments ago. Two times in the passage in Luke 15, twice, he states, not only did he sin against his father, heart and home, right? But he also sinned against heaven. Oh, the ramification of our sins are huge. So what does that tell me? What do we learn from this? Habits of the heart, home, and heaven. Come on, next slide. Aligning the three is the key. Habits of your heart, habits of home, habits of heaven, wanting to get there, aligning the three is the key. If you really want to get there, are you living for wishes or from habits? Now, by wishes here, I mean bad habits. And by just saying habits here, I mean good habits. You see, church, I stated earlier, be careful what you wish for, you may get it. You might discover, like the prodigal son, that what you think you want is not all it was cracked up to be. When unforeseen circumstances occur, and they will, this was a physical famine. There may come a time of famine in your family. There may come a time of famine in your finances. There may come a time of famine in your physical being. When the famine comes, like the famine in our story, or when the money was gone, so all look at all my friends on the front part in the wild road trip, right? But now the money's gone, and I thought I had all these friends. Where are they? When what you can do for others is no longer there, where are they? See, when unforeseen circumstances occur, like the famine in our story, or when the money is gone, so were the friends. You see, the land, where he was, they didn't have the resources or the systems in place to sustain him. In other words, no good habits were formed to get through the difficult times. The wishes were gone. His employer didn't even offer him a pod the pigs were eating for food. You see, your wishes will bury you under, but your habits will burrow you through. Or you could say it this way, with godly habits, God will get you through what you're going through. Godly habits, with godly habits, God will get you through what you're going through. And here's what I know. We all face unforeseen circumstances in our lives, just like the prodigal son did. And here's what I know. Wishes will cause delusional thinking. Habits will cause provisional thinking. Okay? What are your habits today? Habits of heart. Habits of home. Habits for heaven. Luke 15, verse 17, but when he came to his senses, when he hit the reset button of his heart, when he hit the reset button to go back home, hit that one, when he hit the reset button, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and against you. There it is. It's the reset button. And what did he have to do? He had to go back to his father for a reset, didn't he? You've heard me say it this way from this pulpit. You got to get on where you got off. You got to merge back on where you exited off in God's plan and purpose for you. He had to go back to his father for a reset. But this is when life began to emerge out of death. Oh, is there something that's brought death in your life? But God is saying today, I want to bring life back out of that death. Just like I did with the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Verse 31 says, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Oh, there's something that maybe you once had, but you've lost. And God says, if you'll come back to me today, you can hit the reset button and it will be found. Maybe there was something in your life. It brought vibrancy and aliveness and abundance in your life, but now it's dead. And God is saying, come back today. Hit the reset button today. And just like the prodigal son, I will bring and emerge life out of that death in your heart, in your home, in your hope for heaven, in the habits of your life. See, with this young man, oh yeah, he still had air going in and out of his lungs, but he was dead to his family. His dreams had died. His hopes were dead. His potential had died. But after hitting the reset button and going back to his father, what was dead was made alive again. Would you stand with me in the house of the Lord today? What about you? Do you need a reset of habits today? Maybe you're here today and you just need a set. I'm going to ask, do you need to run to God or back to God? Maybe you're here today, you've never run to God. God loves you. He craves that you spend eternity with you. He's preparing a place for you, but you have to receive what He's already done for you on the cross. He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross and shed His blood for your sins. And on the third day, He raised Him up. So now Jesus is in heaven preparing a place for you, but you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins. You've never made a commitment. I'm going to choose a new way of life. It's the way that Jesus Christ has provided for me. And you need to accept the Lord as your Savior today. You want to ask Him to forgive you and say, I'm going to hit the reset button of my life and choose a new way, God's way, because He's got great things that He's prepared for me to prosper me with a hope and a future. Do you need to go to God or back to God for a reset in your life? Maybe like the prodigal son, you were once there. You were under the provision and the protection of your Father, of your Heavenly Father, of the church, and life was good, but something went wrong and a few bad decisions, and now you're veered off and you're over here, and God said, I want you to come back to me today. You need to reset some things in your heart today, the habits of your heart. Maybe in your home, you need to hit the reset button and just how you respond to your spouse, especially in tense moments, difficult situations. You need to hit the reset button just with the relationship you have with your children, or you hit the reset button of your integrity at work or how you live outside of the church. Or maybe you don't think a lot about heaven, but like the prodigal son, you realize, you know, my life, in violating the heart and home here, I'm violating my hope for heaven. He said, I've sinned against, actually, twice he put heaven before his own Father. I've sinned against heaven and you. And you realize you can't just show up in heaven one day. You got to prepare. And your habits is what helps you prepare. Because ultimately, you're sowing a destiny. Do you want your destiny to be heaven? If you could just put some light music on today, I wonder if you need to reset some habits today of heart, home, or toward heaven. And you need to come and spend a few moments of prayer, or at least come and just get one of these pins from the communion table. As a reminder, see, it's easy now. You're thinking about it now, but boy, Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon rolls around. It would be good to see this habit pin. Say, oh, man, yeah, I got to reset. In fact, I had someone tell me last week from 2 weeks ago's message, boy, I get distracted, my mind wanders off, and I keep going, you know, hit the reset button in my thinking. Let's bring it back. That's really what these four, they're prompters. Come on, right now. Light music, just step out of your seat. If the Lord's ministered to you today, yeah, I need to hit the reset button on some habits in my life. Habits of my heart, habits of my home, habits toward heaven, in the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, all over this place, we just believe that your Spirit's ministering to people, and that men and women and even young people would step out of the seats and say, man, I want to develop some good habits in my life, godly habits, to get me to the place where God has prepared for me and all the good works that He has for me to prosper me with a hope and a future. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Anyone else, habits, today's the day the Lord's speaking. Hit the reset button today. Hit the reset button today. Hit the reset button today. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your Spirit that makes your word real to us. And God, I know all of us probably, if we in a moment of honesty say, yeah, Lord, I got some habits that I need to change out and develop some better ones. Oh, God, let's cry out. Let's cry out to the Lord in this place today. In Jesus' name. God, search our hearts. I'm mindful even now of the prayer in Scripture that says, search me, O God, and know me. And right now, Lord, we ask you to search our hearts, search our spirits, search our minds, search our innermost being, and show us, Lord, if there's any wicked way in us. Create in us, as David prayed, God, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in us today, God. And we're here today, Lord, even as you've declared your word, we're declaring we're going to hit the reset button today. Come on, everyone praying in this place. I wonder if there's anyone here today. There's someone in your life. You love them. You care about them. And they're not on a trajectory of God's best. They're not on a trajectory for eternal life in heaven with Him. And you know their life, their eternal destination definitely needs a reset. You're welcome to come and take one of these pens as just an intercessory prayer reminder. God, don't give up on that person. Help me not to give up on them. Help me to not stay or to not stop praying for them, God. God, I know that we all know people that don't know You. We pray, Lord, that You would use messages like this to encourage us to pray that their souls would be reset, their lives, their eternal destination, God, so that they could have a place in heaven that You are preparing for them. In Jesus' name, amen. I know we've gone a little over today. There's children being dismissed. You're welcome to stay and pray as long as you want. If you need to go get a child from downstairs or feel released to go, please leave quietly and reverently. God bless you. Hope to see you Wednesday and Sunday. Have a reset week. Amen. God bless you.